Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Wine About History podcast. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and with me, as always, is...
your co-host, Patty.
And my dog, Burke, who refuses to lie down and behave. So you might hear some noises in the background, some hushed
orders. To be on the podcast.
He wants to be on the podcast, yeah.
Like it or not, he will be.
So today we're discussing... well, let me try and get his name right. Candijo Mariano da Silva Rondon.
That sounded pretty good to me.
Obrigado. This is a guy, so this man is one of the very important people in Brazilian history. And I've liked him since I was much younger, since I was 20. And today we are drinking 19 Crimes wine. Very, very good. We're drinking the Cabernet Sauvignon. Yes.
It's
yes,
really
we are.
Good, I think. Was it expensive or inexpensive?
No, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it was $12,
$14. Man, $12. It's decent.
So there's 19 crimes that would in England that would send you to... Australia, you'd be sentenced to transportation, which basically means you're being sent to a penal colony. Yeah. We got number 14, the counterfeiting of copper coins. So far, I've enjoyed it a lot.
It's a one-way trip to Australia.
Yep, and they have these living wine labels. I download the app; it's really cool.
It is so cool. It's worth buying the wine just for that
mm-hmm.
app.
The app is free.
Do it at the
app is free.
If you want a good bottle of wine, grab the bottle. But, yeah, describe to the listeners what the app does, because it's pretty fantastic.
So what the app does is it brings the character to life, and you see the bottle. It's not just like a pre-programmed movie. The bottle moves with your hand on the camera, and it's the person who was actually in the photograph talking about what they did, who they were, and why they were sentenced.
Yeah, so on every label there is a criminal, mm-hmm. like a real-life criminal.
I believe so.
That got sent to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And which my cousin is there right now, by the way.
Oh, which
yeah,
one?
Look, she's sending fabulous pictures. They do Carnival there, too.
Oh, that's right. I was like saw those pictures time. And I was not happy.
You're jealous.
I'm so jealous.
It looked like fun, just getting makeup all over her
yeah,
face, like glitter.
I have friends from Brazil, and they all are just having a time of their lives, and the pictures are killing me.
Yeah, we just don't really do it up here at all. I mean,
there's big festivals,
but it's
we need to change this. So, fun fact: one of the crimes was impersonating an Egyptian. Yeah.
All right. I'm sure there's a reason why that's bad, but
I think they were just making shit up.
Probably.
I think
probably.
They were.
It's like, we don't like you. You're going to Australia. You impersonated an Egyptian. Sorry. Gotta go. We want you out of here. And these were all people from England, right?
Yep. Oh, here's another one. Incorrigible rogues who broke out of prison and persons reprieved from capital punishment. Incorrigible rogues was an actual legal term. Thanks. Only the British would...
any one of us could be an incorrigible rogue. But
I know, I certainly
am.
Talk
about our guy, huh?
I'm talking about our guy.
I mean, we could talk about this wine and the criminals all day. We may have to have a separate podcast just to talk about that. Pretty interesting. Let's do that. Anyway, so let's talk about our guy whose name you pronounced really well, and I'm not even...
Candijo Rondon. I'm probably actually pronouncing it wrong, because... my girlfriend and my Portuguese professor pronounced his name differently because of the accents.
Oh, each one of them pronounced
yep.
it a little differently?
Yeah. But they both read on Rondon because you put the H sound on the R's in Portuguese. So, he had a saying, there's a famous quote of his, die if you must, but never kill. And that's Rondon in his encounters with Brazilian natives. So, here's a quick rundown of the guy. He saved Roosevelt's life. He protected Brazil's indigenous peoples, explored the Amazon Basin. In 1913, he was shot in the chest by the Nambi Kikwara Indians with a poisoned arrow, turned around and rode away.
Wow.
That's just like, that's not even deep cuts. It's just little glances at his life. So he's a really, really cool, interesting man. He is one of those characters that you just go, what? He actually existed? So he was born in Mato Grosso in the city of Cuiabá. I can't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, which it's its capital.
So is he from Brazil or is he from Portugal?
Oh no, he's half Brazilian. I mean, sorry, he's Brazilian, but he's half Portuguese, half Indian.
Okay.
He was born May 5th, 1865. So back when we were having our civil war, the tail end of civil war. And he was an orphan when he was 2 years old. Aww. His father died and his mother died. And he was raised by his dirt poor uncle. He learned to hunt, fish. He learned to do everything you need to survive in the wilderness. By the way, Mato Grosso, which you've been to, actually means, at least I've been to it, means big wilderness.
Oh, okay.
It means great wilderness. Because they were just like, it is what it is. When you translate the states, names of the states in Brazil, it's like Big River, the Amazon, the mountains, the other mountains. What do you call that hill? Guess. So he's a really interesting character. He joined the army in 1881 at the age of 16 and was possibly a part of the revolution that overthrew the Emperor Pedro II. Possibly. He was also a substitute math professor in 1890. He joined the National Military Academy, and which was a very prestigious, you know, rich boys academy. He worked so hard, and this is Desert, he worked so hard he had to take a leave of absence to be taken to the hospital due to exhaustion. He nearly worked himself to death.
Wow.
He also earned his degree in engineering there. That's how tough this guy is. And he took up with the Telegraphic Commission to have a telegraph line all throughout Brazil. Brazil's so big that it didn't know about a sneak attack by Paraguay in 1865 until Mato Grosso was occupied by Paraguay. That's how big it is. One of the top five biggest countries in the world. Uh-huh. It's huge. And a lot of it at the time was basically wild. So the plan was to string the telegraph lines through Brazil, including the unexplored Amazon jungle and basin, which is basically, it's been impossible for you and I to understand how ridiculous that is. Mm-hmm. Walking in there is, to many people, a death sentence to this day. Walking in there is dangerous.
Right, we were warned not to go when we were there. Yeah. Like,
yeah, no. I went to the botanical gardens in Brazil, and in the botanical gardens, they have this little area that is all, it's a little section of rainforest that they've planted there. There's monkeys, there's animals, there's poisonous things that tell you not to touch anything, but people kept touching stuff. And it was like you could feel it got dense, it got hot and humid. Mm-hmm. People die of malaria all the time in the jungle. It's very, very dangerous. So,
that's why you gotta drink the gin and tonics.
Yeah. You gotta drink the gin and tonics.
Well,
the bugs are poisonous, the plants are toxic, there's apex predators of every sort, green pythons, bullet ants, jaguars, which can sneak up on you and kill you in an instant.
Sounds
caiman,
unpleasant.
Black caiman crocodiles. It's a dangerous, dangerous place.
And if the animals won't kill you, the tribes might.
Yeah, well, the local tribes live in an environment of constant danger anyways. Mm-hmm. The Yanomamo, who are very dangerous. They're human beings. They're human beings, but they live in a dangerous environment. Yanomamo literally means the fierce people.
Ooh.
So everyone's scared of them. And the problem was, too, is greedy industrious kept going in and screwing over these tribes. To this day, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And screwing over these tribes, so they had a fatal animosity to anyone they didn't know. Even down there, if they don't know you, like person to person, they might kill you, mm-hmm. especially back then. Even if they do know you, they might kill you because of cultural differences, because they have a different logic, especially because they live in such extreme conditions. But Candijo literally has can do in his name. From 1890 to 1930, he created and maintained 4,000 miles of telegram wires. Jeez. 4,000 miles in an area that's, it's a, like, if you had told me that, I'd be like, that's impossible. That's, no one could do that. But he did. And it's really some of the most inhospitable territory on Earth. During this time, he saw how harshly the native people were being treated by the government. So he convinced the government to create the, I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly, Servicio Nacional de Protección a los Indios, the National Service for Protection of Indians. And he was in charge of it till 1940. So the whole purpose of this was to protect the native people, which is why Brazil still has a very big expanse of native culture. Because mm-hmm. he did this. He created a place called Xingu Park, X-I-N-G-U, and a lot of people were inspired by him. He spoke, I think, 19 native languages.
Wow.
Or maybe something crazy like that.
Wasn't there a fire recently in one of their...
Yeah, there was a fire in Brazil that...
A lot of their... Where they were holding some of the... Yeah,
a bunch of their languages got burned up.
That's terrible.
This one's really good. So, yeah. Right off the bat, what do you think of this guy? Because it gets better.
He sounds incredible. It gets better? Oh, my gosh. Better. Well, already I'm massively impressed. I didn't even go outside today.
So, he would go on all these expeditions that, again, people were just like, he's dead, he's not coming back. And then he'd come back and be like, you're a hero. No, I'm just a Rondon. Very humble.
So, yeah, sounds very modest.
That's truly who he was. And he was good friends with many of the Indians. So that incident with the Nambiquara Indians, they shot him in the chest with a poisoned arrow that could kill a full-grown man very easily. He comes back, and they're like, let's listen to this guy. So he established relationships with many, many tribes.
Hungman didn't kill him.
I think his intestinal fortitude was so grand that the poison just kind of left his body. He sweated it out.
Shot back out.
I do not know. We just know that happened. Because some people are just so tough. Logic goes, I give up. Mm-hmm. I give up. So he was hailed as a hero after a very dangerous trip in the 1909, I believe. And I think the party ran out of supplies. And it was an expedition to discover large rivers between different rivers to try and navigate through Brazil and the Amazon. Mm-hmm. But the river was so dangerous, Rondon called it the River of Doubt.
Wow.
And they actually had to build canoes and float down to a place called Madeira because they ran out of their supplies and basically were starving. And he was dying of malaria, but he refused to go on a stretcher and just walked out of the jungle like everyone else. He was dying, and they got him to a hospital, and I don't remember what happened.
Johnson
Gin and Tonic. Here's where it gets even crazy. Well, they thought he was dead, too. Here's where it gets even better. Kermit Roosevelt was living in Brazil. He's the son of Theodore Roosevelt. That's right. Teddy Roosevelt named his son Kermit. What are you going to do about it? Nothing, because it's Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, but that was probably
it's a common name back then. Like calling a man Ashley. So, pre-internet. So, Theodore Roosevelt heard about this. He just lost the election. He was very depressed. And he said, I'm going down there to scale that river. And the Brazilian government said, Rondon, you need to take care of this American president. He said, I don't care. Then he realized that Teddy Roosevelt didn't want to go on like a pleasure cruise. He was a serious explorer. He was a cowboy. He was all these things. And Rondon said, well, I'm going down there to make sure this guy doesn't die because he's the real deal. And the River of Doubt expedition was, there's a very, very good book on it. It's just called The River of Doubt. And it's one of the best books I've ever read. I encourage you to go out, buy it, sit down, read it. It'll change your opinion about life probably. Because you're just like, people just did this. This is how hardcore Teddy Roosevelt was. Throughout his expeditions and adventures, he kept a cyanide pill on him. So he could take it so he wouldn't hold the group back.
Jeez.
Say what you want about his politics and presidency, because like all presidents, he had his flaws. That guy was badass.
Yeah.
He was just flat out, I'm, yeah. So, Kermit, his son, his shoes rotted off his feet. They were attacked by Indians. There was even a murder. What happened was Roosevelt refused to let anyone treat him special. He had, even if, when he saw Rondon sitting on the ground, he sat down to Rondon and wouldn't sit in a chair. He refused to be treated like he wanted to be one of the, and so Rondon was just like that. Rondon was a leader through and through. He always stuck by his men, took care of them. He did so many amazing things. I encourage you to go and research more about this guy. The reason I haven't talked more about him is because I go on for 3 hours and I want this to be a 3-hour podcast.
Right.
He's that incredible of a guy. So they're going through the expedition. It's really rough. And Roosevelt catches malaria. And he gets a fever.
Oh.
And all he can do is repeat the phrase, in Xanadu. It's from a poem, I believe. In Xanadu, a stately dome is made, and pleasures. I should have looked it up. Sorry, guys.
I should have had that one at the ready.
Yeah, should have had that one at the ready. I have the book here around here somewhere. But he kept reciting this line from the poem, and actually a bunch of people in movies and stuff will repeat that same line over and over again as a reference to what Theodore Roosevelt
really?
Went through.
All yeah. Right, so if I ever hear that, then I'll know.
I think it's in Xanadu, the Khan did decree a stately pleasure dome be erected. So I believe that's the line. You keep saying that over and then you come to and say, leave me behind, leave me to die, and then start and go pass out because of the fever again. Rondon stood up and said, no, I'm in charge now. Keep the president coming with us, and they made it through. They made it to the headwaters of the River of Doubt. And there's a very good picture. The headwaters aren't that big, but they look very dangerous. And you can see...
Rivers of Doubt, that sounds like my life.
And you see Kermit shoeless using his rifle as a measuring stick. So, and the Indians didn't bother him that much because... The particular tribe whose name means cedar belt, because they wear belts made of cedar bark, decided to kind of leave them alone. Like, we don't know what's going on here.
They look like they're dying anyway.
They probably said, why are they going up the river of dead people? Why are they going to the river where everyone dies? You know what? We'll leave them alone. How much you want to bet one of them are like, oh, I know that guy. That's Khadijah Rondon. Yes, we like him. Leave him alone. So... A really, really interesting guy. And he led an army in 1924 against a rebellion in the state of Sao Paulo. He was in charge of surveying all the borders between Brazil and its neighbors. He did a bunch of amazing things. And he also supported the Vilas Boas Brothers campaign, which was another way his legacy lived on in protection of the Indians. And back when I was in Brazil, someone said, look up the Boas Brothers, because I was talking about Rondon and Khadijah, how much I like him. In 1955, on his 90th birthday, he was awarded the title of Marshal of the Brazilian Army. Now, for those who don't know, a Marshal is basically the highest rank you can get. A Marshal... is someone who's in charge of the entire army or entire military, depending on who you're talking to, depending on the country. And in 1957, he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Really? Wow.
He died in 1958 at the age of 92. He had a state, Rondônia, named after him.
Wow. Cool. He was kind of like their Teddy Roosevelt, maybe.
Yeah. Well, actually, he reminds me of John Muir, who he and Teddy Roosevelt did not like each other, but Muir convinced him to save the national parks and create the national park system.
Yeah. Oh, really? I thought they were buds. I didn't know they didn't get along.
They hated each other, from what I've read.
Oh.
But you can see a picture of him, like a picture of looking at, of out of the corner of his eye. Roosevelt staring at him like, I don't like you, but damn, do I respect you.
Well, cool. Thanks for sharing this guy with us. And you, like you said, you could go on for 3 hours. So
I really could.
More about him out there that people could read and look up.
I wanted to sit down and read The River of Doubt before this, but I knew if I did, I would not shut up about it. And it was just going to be a book review. You know, I knew once I got started, it's that good of a book. I encourage everyone to read it.
I'll definitely check it out. Well, is that all we have for this week then?
It is all we have for this week. But what else do you think about this guy? Because I think he was one of the greatest humanitarians. If you look at the size of Xingu Park, too, it's huge. He was a great humanitarian, and not just that, one of those people that comes along very rarely throughout history.
Right. Right. You get somebody that's smart and courageous and...
Can take arrows in the chest.
Somewhat bulletproof.
Arrowproof.
Arrowproof. Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool.
So, we are drinking 19 Crimes wine. Go and pick up a bottle. Download the free app. I enjoyed it so far.
It's an entertaining bottle of wine. Not just drinking, but you get a little mini movie with the deal, too. Mm-hmm. And don't pretend to be Egyptian or forge copper coins or be, what was the other one?
A unscrupulous rogue.
Unscrupulous rogue. You're getting a one-way ticket to Australia.
That sounds like my weekend.
It does sound like your weekend. All right. Well, will that do it for us then?
It will do it for us.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
So guess what we're doing next week?
We have something lined up. All right. What are we doing?
Teddy Roosevelt. I'm just kidding. Nikolai Prvizhet. Okay. Try and help me pronounce this.
Names.
Nikolai.
Przewalski. We'll get it right.
Do we have any Russian listeners?
Well, by this time next week, we'll have it right.
Because let me tell you something. This name's missing for some vowels.
Yes, I'd like to buy a vowel.
All
right.
So again, thank you guys so much. Like, share, subscribe, all that stuff. Give us some reviews on iTunes. And we are also going to have a contest. So the person that can do the best review will get a prize. But there's a first prize, a second prize, and a third prize. And we're going to go all over all that in our first YouTube video.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, how fun would that be? It'll just be me. Don't worry. You need to make my parents. You're not invited. Get out of here. No, it's just more or less something you don't need to bother with.
Oh, all right, fine.
Well, you said you said you didn't want to be in the videos.
Well, can you like blur my face?
What'd you say?
Could you like blur my face? Do that thing when they?
I'm not the CIA. As far as I know, I could be a sleeper agent.
Maybe you are.
Do 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 do. Well, this got off track.
That's what you do during the day. All right. Yeah, so we did get a little off track. But thanks again. And remember, if it weren't for history,
you wouldn't be here.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you in the next episode.